Amen. Turn with me, if you would, this morning. Let's go to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 6, this morning. We want to look at a passage that will save your life. Yeah. You know, whether you know it or not, it's life and death what church you go to. I said it is life and death what church you go to. People don't realize. They think that church is an optional thing. But church, the local church is your a place where you connect with God alongside those who are hungry. You know, always find your company in those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There are a lot of people who talk about God and talk about spiritual things, but they don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, to be right. You know, on TV, you can have Hollywood people, and they'll even talk about, you know, something about their spiritual life, but yet they live inappropriately. Why? Because they don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Amen. The word says that Jesus was anointed with the oil of gladness above his brethren because he hated iniquity and loved righteousness. When people are not joyful and glad, that part of their life does not hate what's wrong.
That's right. Boy, that's right.
Some people just live with one foot in compromise and 1 foot coming to church and go, I don't know why my mind is troubled. I don't know why I'm plagued by depression and fear, because you got to hate what's wrong.
That's right.
Not hate people, but hate what's wrong. Amen. And so it matters that you find your fellowship among those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And that'll set you apart, you know. It will set you apart. I was in the car with somebody years ago, somebody who was attending our church, and we were going down the road, and for some reason the conversation turned to a former friend that she had had, and she said, you know, one of her best friends years ago had died. She said, I think she was in her 30s or 40s, and she said, you know, she is a Christian. She died, and she said, it's always troubled me why she died. And she said, the first question I'm going to ask Jesus when I see him is why my friend died. And when she said that, the Spirit of God spoke and said, tell her she don't have to wait till she gets to heaven. I'll tell her right now.
Yeah.
And he says, you tell her that her friend died because she was in the wrong church. She was not in a church that believed in healing, didn't minister healing.
That's right.
And that's why she died. So tell her that's why she died. So it's life and death what church you go to.
That's right. It sure is.
You know? And when you find the right place, brother, you want to do everything you can to stay in the right place. Today's society doesn't know how to stay in the right place.
Right.
They don't know how to stay with the right things. They're quitters. Yeah. We have a society of quitters. Yeah. And we have government now put in place to help quitters succeed and fund quitters.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible says you don't work, you don't eat. But now we got a government that says you don't work, that's okay, we'll take from those who do and give it to you. See, that's against morality. It's against the word. Those aren't political issues, those are moral issues. Just
that's
because
right.
the government turned it into a political issue
that's
doesn't
right.
mean God turned it into a political
right.
issue. It's a moral
that's
issue. Right. And in the family of God, it's the same way.
That's right. Come on.
Amen. So be it done unto you according to your faith.
That's right.
What's that mean? You don't work, you don't eat, you don't believe, you don't succeed.
That's right. That's right.
And you say, well, that sounds hard. No, that sounds simple.
That sounds right.
That's key. He keeps it real plain. So Jesus said, so be it done unto you according to your faith. So that means do everything you can to be where your faith is fed and kept strong and kept right according to Bible truths, that you don't start believing the wrong way, because it can cost you your life. It can cost you your children. It can cost you your business and your occupation. If you believe wrong, it can cost you. So truth is the truth of God's word is the most valuable thing in your life. And being in the right local church to teach you that is of greatest value.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so when God plugs you in and shows you where you need to be, you say, well, God didn't speak to me to be at this church, or God didn't say, this is your pastor, Pastor Tim Stone. He didn't say it. No, he doesn't need to say that. Let me ask you this. Where are you fed?
Yeah.
Where does your faith get, if your faith gets stronger, if your fellowship with God gets stronger, then that's the place you're fed, and that is the leading. There are places you can go and just say, I attend, but you're not fed. If you don't come out challenged.
Come on now.
If you don't come out realizing and seeing better what your life should hold, you're probably not in the place you're getting fed. So you go where you're fed. Amen? And so you don't need the Holy Spirit to specifically say, Pastor Tim is to be your pastor, or Pastor Michael is to be your pastor. You just go where you're fed.
That's
and
right.
So when you find a place that you're fed, brother, don't exchange that for anything.
Amen.
Don't give it up for anybody
That's
who
right.
is not eating as good as you.
Amen.
You know, when you're eating real good and they're not, they don't mind leaving where they're eating. But don't leave where you're eating good just to go with people who aren't eating good. Huh? A bad restaurant, yeah. It might be your favorite atmosphere, but if the food's no good. Amen. You have to protect the place where your faith is fed. Your faith is not getting fed at the mall. It's not getting fed at the movie theater. It's probably not getting fed at your place of business. You should bring your faith to the place of business, but it's probably not feeding your faith, right? The local church is the place where you should be going every service and having your faith fed. That sets the local church apart from any other location in your life.
Amen.
That means that the local church, the services are the highlight of your week.
Hallelujah.
The highlight.
That's right.
The highlight of your week. You do things that may be important, but nothing is as important as what goes on with your faith. Because so be it done unto you, to your life, to your children and your children's life, to your health and to your business and to your income, based on your own faith.
Amen.
So be it done unto you according to your faith. So it matters that you go to a place where your faith is fed, and once you find that place, you don't let any doubt, unbelief, offense, or bitterness, or any wrong thinking pull you away from there.
Amen.
Amen. And we want to look here in John chapter 6. We see this passage that Jesus is preaching a sermon, and he preaches something that the human mind could not comprehend. And he preached this. He said, I am the bread of life. He talked about partaking of me. And then he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood. And if you don't have any part of me. What was he saying? He's saying, the words that I say, they're food for you. The price that I'll pay for you, it's life for you. Partake of that. He was the Word of God made flesh. He's telling you, the more as you eat the Word, you're eating his essence.
That's
you
right,
see,
that's right.
That's what he was. That's what he is.
Amen.
When he was on the earth, he was the Word of God made flesh.
Yes.
And so he's leading them into oneness with the Word.
Amen.
That they are to partake of the Word. Because when you do that, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So the more you partake of the Word, the greater your faith will be. You see, the more you do that Word, the greater your faith will be. And so he preached this sermon, and he preached it to a multitude. It wasn't just a handful, it was a multitude. And this multitude was a collection of people who had seen miracles, received miracles. Their own bodies had been changed. There were cripples that had been healed. There were blind people that had been healed. There were lepers that had been healed. In this multitude were people who had partaken of the fullness of him.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
They had partaken of him. And when he starts talking about that this is to continue, they don't understand it with their mental processes.
Sure.
And so they start backing off what they don't mentally understand. Listen, your pastor is going to preach some things that your mind can't calculate. And your mind can't process it and handle it with natural terms.
Sure, that's right. That's right.
But your heart can hang on,
Amen.
Grab hold of it and believe
Amen.
It. Amen? And even if you don't understand it, stay around. You'll pick it up. You'll start with your heart seeing what you didn't see maybe last year. But if you'll just stay around where truth and light is, you'll come into that, you see. And so he preached this, and the multitude became unsettled about this. They didn't quite like it. They didn't quite understand it. And so it says that the multitude from that day turned and quit following him.
That's right.
That he had a mass exodus right out of his service. They didn't wait till the service was over. They didn't wait till he dismissed it. They all got up and started walking out. The multitude that had received what they had never had before from him. But they thought it was disposable.
Right. Oh, come on now.
He was leading them into the next thing God was doing. What was that? To bring them into oneness with him. And they missed the next great thing that God was doing because they left the service. Yeah, they left. The multitude, it said, left him that day. And then let's pick it up. Let's start reading in verse 63 so that we won't take time to read the whole passage. And in verse 63, he's talking to them. And he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. This is the Amplified. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. There is no profit in it. The words, the truths that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. But still, some of you, look at this, fail to believe and trust and have faith. So they're saying we're leaving because we don't like the doctrine you're preaching. And he said, you're leaving because you don't have faith to hear the doctrine I'm preaching. You don't have faith in you. And so you dismiss it, you reject it.
Right.
And they're saying that this is hard. Who can hear this? This is what they said in previous verses. How many times I have been accused, and any pastor who preaches the word will be accused, you're too hard.
Oh, yeah, come on now.
You got no love.
Oh, yeah.
People can't do what you preach. You know what? You don't have faith to hear what's being preached,
That's
and then you accuse
right.
me for not preaching
That's
the right,
right
thing.
Come on now.
Wow. It takes faith to hear the word. It takes faith to embrace the word. It takes faith to hunger for the word. And when people are not making the word the centerpiece of their services, now we know it's a faith issue. When preachers don't preach it, it's a faith issue. When congregations won't comply, it's a faith issue. It's not a sermon issue. Well, praise the Lord. Because Jesus nailed it. With them, and he said, basically, this multitude, they're leaving because they say they don't like the doctrine, but he said, the problem is they don't have faith to know and hear what I'm preaching. But still, some of you fail to believe and trust and have faith, for Jesus knew from the first who did not believe. See, he knew it was a faith issue. And had no faith and would betray him and be false to him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted him, unless he's enabled to do so by the Father. You have to have the faith of God in you to move with God. Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples, not a few, not some, many of his disciples drew back. And I like what the Amplified says. Many of his disciples drew back, returned to their old. The Amplified says, returned to their old associations. If you ever leave moving forward in faith, you know where you're going to go? Back to what you were in your old life. What habits did you have? What bondages were moving in your life? what things were tripping you up. That's where you're going to end back up, with the old man. Amen. And if it were so great in the old, why'd you ever leave it? Really? But you draw back, and you're not drawing back into neutral. You're drawing back to the old. And going back to their old associations. Going back to the old places they used to hang out. The old people, the people they used to hang out with. The old conversations, their old attitudes. Their old ways of thinking. Their old critical nature. Their old fault-finding nature. Their old, the way the flesh was, you see. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Listen, faith is never in the backward direction. I love a statement Smith Wigglesworth made, and it's recorded in his book on ever-increasing faith. And he said, the degree to which you look back is the degree to which you quit moving in faith with God. A faith man doesn't look back. Amen. A faith man looks forward and keeps moving forward. If you ever stop moving forward in faith, backwards is the only direction you go. And so he says here, it says here in verse 66, after this, many of his disciples drew back, returned to their old association, and no longer accompanied him. And Jesus said to the 12, so all that's left is the 12. Whole mass exodus, they're all left. So at this point, they're gone. And he's still continuing in his talk, you know. So he turns around, there's 12 left. And basically, in essence, he says, why don't y'all go on too? In other words, the exit door's open. Anybody who doesn't have faith, let them go now.
Right.
Then you, when you leave with others, you don't look so wrong, you know.
Right.
If you leave alone, people may notice. And so Jesus said to the 12, will you go away? Will you also go away? In other words, this is now your exit. And do you too desire to leave me? And verse 68, Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thank God, in the midst of all these unthinking people, one man was thinking.
Right.
He thought beyond the exit. A lot of people don't think beyond the exit. They just think, I'm going to leave. But what about after you exit? They never think. They never ask this question. Every believer at one point will need to ask himself this question. A man who does not ask himself this question will exit into failure and have no idea that failure is what's waiting for him. To stop yourself from leaving the right place, you're going to have to ask yourself, if I leave the place I'm to be, if I leave the place that God put me, where am I going to go that's better? I know there's old out there, because when they drew back, they went to old. But if I leave this, where am I going to go? Then once you have to ask yourself that question. Have to. Then once you ask it, you have to answer it right. Thank God Peter asked this question. And I wonder how many of the 12 disciples stayed because he asked the question that they hadn't thought of. But Peter said, if we leave, where are we going to go? What gets better for us if we leave this? Are there more miracles? Is somebody out there else doing miracles? Is somebody else out there raising the dead? Is somebody else out there multiplying food? Is somebody else out there doing what this man is doing? If you leave your pastor, if you leave your local church, is there another church that really is bringing out truth and bringing out faith? Well, that church is bigger. Yeah, the multitude that left was bigger than the 12 that stayed. It's not about majority. It's not about majority, because in case you didn't know it, the majority are going to hell.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so just because the majority go a direction does not equal rightness.
That's right.
You need to think before you leave your spiritual father, before you leave your pastor, before you leave the marriage God put together, before you leave the employer that God gave you, Before you leave, you better ask yourself, does it get better once the exit door is behind me? Because I know this as a pastor. We have over in the 23 years that I've pastored, I have seen many, many people exit because they did not ask themselves this question first.
That's right.
And now you can look back at those lives and say, where are they? No one even knows where they are because they're out with the old that no one can see anymore. Whatever happened to them? Whatever happened? And then you see them in the grocery store. And how you doing, brother? Oh, I'm not doing very good. No, I can see that. You're wearing the not doing very good all over yourself. Well, my wife left me. You know, my children, you know. Yeah, of course.
Right.
Duh.
Right.
Because when you leave God's best, it doesn't get better from there.
That's right.
Just because you can leave. Just because you can leave. Listen, you Americans, thank God for our freedom, but you better not carry your American rights over to spiritual things. Bless God, I've got a right as a Christian. As you, if you belong to the Father, you don't have a right to violate your Father's will. You can, but it doesn't make it right. Amen. So Peter asked this question, and I wonder what the other 11 thought. They go, yeah, what about that? Because this multitude didn't ask that. Most people don't ask the right question before they make a wrong move.
That's right.
So this question is so important. If I leave my pastor, who's going to be my shepherd? Who's going to be the shepherd to my children? Who's going to teach me what he has taught me? Well, there's other churches out there. If you leave your pastor, who has God assigned you to?
Right. That's right. Yes.
You know.
That's right.
And this is, then Peter answers his own question. In verse 68 of the Amplified, Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Listen, your life is connected to somebody, whether you know it or not. Your future is connected to somebody. Peter knew this. If we leave you, we got to go find somebody else. Who will that be? Because you need somebody else to succeed in what God's called you to. You can't do it alone. No man can do it alone. Every man needs a spiritual father. Every man needs a pastor. Every man needs someone that is moving with God the same way he's moving, that knows God better than him.
That's right.
If you never hook up with someone who knows God better than you, you'll never know God better than you do right now. And so Peter understood this. If we leave you, we've got to hook up with somebody.
That's right. So good.
And then he answered it. He said, you have. Ah, you have. Listen, God has put things in your pastor, things in your spiritual father that he has for your life.
Amen.
And the pastor down the road doesn't have them for your life.
Amen.
He might have the assignment for his life, but it doesn't mean your life is attached to that assignment. God puts people in the body of Christ. He puts them in a place where it pleases him.
Amen.
Where it pleases him, not where it pleases you.
That's right.
But if you'll be where God sets you, not only will God be pleased, but you'll be pleased if you'll behave yourself there.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God put Adam in the right place when he put him in the garden. He put him in the, God put him there. That was the right place. But Adam misbehaved in the right place and had to leave the right place. God didn't make a mistake. He misbehaved in the right place.
Amen. Amen.
And you don't want to have God put you in the right place and you misbehave there and have to be removed from that place. You want to behave where you should be. Amen. What's that mean? You think right about your pastor. You talk right about your church members. You don't go home and eat them for lunch.
That's right. Come on now.
You know? You don't badmouth your brethren. Well, they're not perfect. Well, neither are you. And so since we're not looking for perfection out of you, don't expect it out of others.
That's right.
It's not about perfection. It's about hunger. It's about those who hunger and
That's
thirst
right.
after righteousness. It's about those who are making steps to renew their minds. And you'll never be spiritual unless you realize that your life is connected to somebody else that knows God better than you.
That's right.
Amen. And this is what Peter understood. He said, if we leave here, where are we going to go? And then he said, you have. He recognized who had the supply for his life. You have. Amen. Your pastor has revelation you need. Your pastor is bringing you into things that you need. Your spiritual father is bringing you into things that you need. And he has them. And you don't get them if you don't stay with them. Right before Dad Hagen, the last time that we got to be with Dad Hagen, I would say this, I don't remember. There may have been a time. I don't remember a time that my husband and I were ever in a meeting with Dad Hagen that he didn't pull my husband out and lay hands on him. If he ever did, I don't remember that time. Every crusade that I ever remember my husband being in with Dad Hagen pulled him out and laid hands on him. Why? Because he had something for him.
Praise God. Praise God.
Does that mean the others didn't get something? No, they could receive theirs from the sermon.
That's
they
right.
could receive theirs from what he said. You don't receive what somebody has just by the laying on of hands,
right.
but also by the sermons.
Amen. That's right.
But what I'm saying is that there was something in particular that my husband being there, Dad Hagen, would lay hands on him. The last time we were with Dad Hagen, he laid hands on Ed and says, now you've gotten everything you need. What he meant, from me. From me. And then right after that, he went to heaven. This is what Peter said, you have. This is what we understood about Dad Hagen. He had something for our lives.
Hallelujah.
And we had to stay with him or we would never get it.
That's right.
And somebody else would get it.
That's right.
Listen. What God has for you through your man of God, if you abandon that place, God will give it to somebody else who's more hungry than you.
That's right. Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
Yeah.
Come on now.
And so Peter said, if we leave you, where do we go? And he said this, you have. He recognized, this man has the supply for my life. Notice he finishes this statement in verse 68 of the Amplified. You have the words. The message of eternal life. Look at verse 69. I like how the Amplified reads. It says, and we have learned to believe and trust and more we have come to know. He's saying with you, we've learned to believe. With you, we've learned faith. With you, we've learned to operate these things. We didn't learn them while we were fishing in the boat.
That's right. That's right.
We didn't learn them while we were collecting taxes as tax collectors. We learned these things with you. What's he saying? With you, we learned how to believe God. I tell you what, you better locate the place you've learned to believe God. And it's not the mall. And it's not at your place of employment. It's at your local church. It's under your spiritual father. It's under your pastor that you've learned to believe. And I tell you what, you better not leave the place you've learned to believe God, because you're going to need to learn that for the rest of your life. You're never done learning to believe. Remember what I said yesterday that Dad Hagen said to that one pastor? Dad Hagen went there and for a series of meetings preached on faith every day in the pastor's church. Pastor said, oh, I'm so glad you taught on faith. And over 20 years of pastoring, I've never taught on faith. And Dad Hagen said, then you haven't taught the Bible yet. I would dare to say that pastors who aren't teaching faith today are not teaching the Bible. They're teaching self-help. They might be teaching motivational sermons. But you know, you don't even need a renewed mind to teach that stuff. Well, praise the Lord. And this is what Peter identified. You have the words of life. And then he goes on to even specifically what those words of life are. You have taught us. We have learned to believe, to trust, and to know our Father.
Glory.
You know, the local church is the place where you not only learn faith, it's the place that your children and you come to know God. Doesn't matter that your pastor knows God. If you don't know God, you're going to fail.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
I don't know. You know, I'm in a good church. I won't fail as long as I'm in a good church. Judas was under a good teacher and still failed.
Still failed. Yeah.
It's not just about hanging out with people who know. It's about doing what they do.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You don't want, there's some people in leadership in churches today, you don't want to do what they do. You better stick with those who are putting faith in you, putting the spirit of faith in you. Not the spirit of the world. Dad Hagen warned us often, the spirit of the world tries to get in the church. And I tell you what, we've seen the spirit of the world moving in the church. Calling what's wrong right because they politically called it right. I don't care if they politically call something right or pass something or approve something with legislation.
Right.
If God calls it morally wrong, they can't call it politically right.
That's right. Amen.
Well, you don't have a right to address that as a preacher. I have a right to address what God addresses.
That's right. Amen. That's right, Pastor.
Amen. And I'm not giving my opinion. I'm just telling you what the way God calls it. Because that's the only way you're going to learn to believe. That's the only way you're going to learn to trust. That's the only way you're going to learn to know God. And it's not enough that you learn to know God. Your children need to know God. There's a lot of people who think that because mama knows God, and mama knows how to believe God, and mama knows how to draw on the preacher. You better learn how to draw on the preacher. And it takes a discipline to hone in your mind and hone in your body that you're not out doing things and missing what God's trying to teach you in the church service. It's not enough that your wife got it. You better get it. It's not enough that your husband got it. You better get it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And Jesus put a challenge out to these people, to this multitude. He put a challenge on their faith, and they just didn't rise to meet the challenge with their faith. They said, we're out of here.
Right.
He was calling on them to another level of the word. Eat my body, drink my blood. He was calling on them to partake of him.
Yeah, right.
Not going to do it. You know? And they didn't have faith to do that. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this, we never again hear of this multitude. Never again. You never again hear of people in a positive light who left the place God put them.
Never
again.
Never.
They left the next great thing God was doing. What was God doing? He was showing that Jesus would be their sacrifice. He was showing them in his sermon that I would be offered up my body, my blood, my body would be broken, my blood would be shed for you. He was trying to lead them in faith to receive salvation. These people weren't born again. Right?
That's right.
He was trying to lead them into the next thing God had for them, salvation.
Salvation.
And they didn't have faith enough to go there. They exited the building before they exited the location, even before they received that salvation. Never hear of them again. And then after they received, you know, after Jesus was offered up and crucified, and then the disciples were born again, then he brought them into the next great thing God was doing. What was that? The day of Pentecost. And only 120 showed up.
120.
Yeah. All the ones that were invited didn't show up. Why? Every generation, there's always people who are missing. The multitude's missing the next great thing God's doing.
That's right.
There's the multitude of the church missing the next great thing God's doing in this hour. They're missing it. But I'm not missing it for them.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to stay where I've learned. I'm going to stay where I've learned to believe God, where I've come to know God.
Hallelujah.
I've taught our Bible school students, you know, you want to know how to stay out of error? Stay out of what's new.
Yeah.
It's not very hard. Stay out of the newest, latest, greatest doctrine.
Stay out of it. That's right.
That's the way to get out of it, to not be duped by error. Stay with faith. Just stay with believing God, knowing God, trusting God, living for God, and stay out of the latest, greatest, most popular doctrine.
Amen.
Just because it's popular and widespread doesn't mean God birthed it. Now, those who stayed with Jesus that day, we have record of what happened to them. All those 12 disciples, even Judas, we have record.
That's right.
What happened to him. Because he didn't turn that day, but he turned another day. Yeah, and we have record. But you never have record of those that walked away from Jesus that day. Why? Because they left the place God had put them where they were to be. Those who encounter challenges to their faith will have to choose. Are they going to leave or are they going to stay when their faith is challenged? When the economy change came in 2007, we were running about 400 or so in our church at that time. In 2 months' time, 100 people exited the church because the economy change called for a challenge on their faith. And they couldn't meet it with faith. And they left. And they left, went to their old, never heard of them again. Some have come back, but you know what they've come back? Divorced, right. Lost their children, lost their homes. Some have buried their children.
Oh,
yeah, it's tragic.
It's tragic.
Why? Because when you leave the place where your answer was, where are you going to go?
Where are you going to go?
You can go back to the old. Yeah. Well, you see, if we know these things, then when there comes a challenge to our faith of do we leave or do we stay, we already know the answer. Amen. There's a challenge, you know, today if you leave the Pauline revelation, where are you going to go? You want to know where you're going to go? To the winds of doctrine.
Winds of doctrine.
That's where you're going to
go. Right.
The latest thing blowing around. Yeah. Listen, challenges don't destroy faith. They reveal faith.
They reveal it.
When Jesus preached this sermon to them, it did not destroy their faith. It revealed their faith. And when people decide that their church is disposable, that their man of God, that their pastor, that their spiritual father is disposable, it did, that difficulty did not defeat them. It exposed what they believed. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Listen, because people have not asked themselves this question that Peter asked, they have ended up tragically. Yeah. They've ended up with their marriages wrecked, their children wayward, some drinking, back into alcohol, drugs, empty of faith, because they never asked themselves this question. But all the time in our congregation, you can hear people, whatever happened to such and such? Whatever happened to such and such? And I don't want you to misunderstand me. Everyone who leaves is not wrong, but everyone who leaves wrong is wrong.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise
and I have to ask myself, if I'm going to leave my spiritual father, if I'm going to leave my pastor, who am I going to go with?
Right.
Where am I going to go?
Where
is my family? What's going to happen to my finances? What's going to happen to my health?
That's right.
What's going to happen to my children? The devil wants you to get away from the place where you receive. The multitude, as long as they stayed with Jesus, they received. As long as they stayed with him. When they left, they never received anymore. Their receiving was done. Why? Because it takes faith to receive what God has.
Right.
Dad Hagen would often tell this story in some of his crusades that there was a man who was a board member, I believe. I think he was a board member. He worked closely with Dad Hagen for years. Dad Hagen was his spiritual father. And one day he started believing the wrong thing about his spiritual father. And he abandoned Dad Hagen. Wouldn't cut off association with him and made it public that he had cut it off. Well, it wasn't long after that that this man who cut off his association, he had a grown son that worked with him in the ministry and his own son left him. And they ran into some great difficulties in their own personal family. And God spoke to him and said, the reason your son left you is because you left your father. And he says, now you go make it right back with your father and your own son will come back. But until you do, he won't. And he went to Dad Hagen and repented and he got up and made it known that he had missed it. And he got back into fellowship with Dad Hagen and his own son came back and then worked with him in the ministry. But I want you to know, you cannot leave the place God wants you to be untouched. The devil's going to put his hands all over your life.
That's right.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It matters. It matters that we keep receiving. I said it matters that we keep receiving.
Right.
It matters that we keep receiving.
It matters. So good.
So we see here in verse 68, let's read it again. Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words, the message of eternal life, and we have learned to believe. You know, it's always been a head scratcher to my husband and I. There have been people that have come to the church. Their bodies have been healed. Their marriages have been rescued. Their children have been brought back. Their finances have been, they've been increasing. And one person comes along with one bad report, and they forget that it was their pastor that they received from.
Right.
They forget what they received under their man of God. And they just, they think nothing in the world about getting up and leaving their man of God. Think nothing in the world about, because they don't remember who helped them.
That's right.
They don't remember that it was because of that man of God in their life. Well, I just need Jesus. That's all I need. Too bad Jesus didn't know that. Because if Jesus was all you needed, why did he give apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers? If Jesus was all you
Amen.
Needed.
That's right.
Now, what they need to do is qualify that statement. Jesus is all you need for your redemption. To be redeemed. But if you're going to experience your redemption, enjoy your redemption, walk in the fullness of your inheritance, you're going to need somebody to teach you what Jesus did for you. Jesus did it for you, but if no man is there to teach you, it won't even matter that he did it for you. Because you won't be experiencing it until someone teaches you. And this is what Peter said, I'm not leaving the place I learned. Where I learned to believe God. Think of who has taught you the most and let everybody else shut up. You know what I'm talking about that. There are people that, you know, if you said something about Dad Hagen negatively, we were done with you. Because we needed Dad Hagen more than we needed you. We knew who we needed the most. And I didn't break, Ed and I never broke fellowship with anybody. We still haven't. But they broke fellowship when they spoke against our spiritual father.
That's right.
You broke fellowship with us. And we just understand who's the one breaking fellowship, not us.
That's right.
And I've taught our congregation over the years, when somebody has something negative to say about your pastor, they just broke fellowship with you. You need to recognize that they broke fellowship with you. You need to recognize that. And you need to let them know you won't be coming over for dinner Friday night.
Yeah.
Notice what Paul said. He says, don't even eat at the table of some of these people. Why? Because when someone's offended, they try to get you at their table to make it look like it's a social, like it's an all good setting. Oh, we're just still fellowship and enjoying the fellowship. I cannot enjoy the fellowship of someone who broke fellowship with my pastor. Because I'm in fellowship with my pastor. I'm in fellowship with my spiritual father. Don't make me choose.
Yeah. Don't make me choose.
Because my choice is made.
Yeah. My choice is
made. I won't have to pray about it. I won't have to fast over it. And I certainly won't grieve about it.
That's right.
As long as I know who is leading me into faith, who is putting the word in me, that's who I'm loyal to. That's who I'm faithful to.
Hallelujah.
And you even need to know that in a marriage.
That's right. That's right.
You understand that? If your spouse is against your man of God, you understand that that spouse is causing difficulties. I remember years ago there was someone on staff with us, and he was a nice man. He was very easy to work with. He was easy to lead. He was easy to have around. We enjoyed him very much. And I pulled into the parking lot of our church one day, and the word of the Lord came to me and says, when you get in the office, you fire him. And I jumped. There was no reason office-wise, personnel-wise, of why I should let him go. And I said, Father, I said, why? Why let him go? I said, he's easy to work with. He's caused me no problems. He said this, because his wife sits at home and speaks against leadership, and he won't tell her to stop. She was aggressive, loud, and he was passive. And I tell you what, and he said, because she is talking bad about the congregation and leadership, and he won't tell her to stop, he's disqualified.
Wow. Come on now.
Because he could tell her to stop. As the head of his home,
yes.
He ought to tell her, you're not talking that way about my man of God, about my pastor, about my church. She went to church too, but she heard her tongue was too loose. Her tongue, she was too opinionated.
Wow.
I tell you what, when you got saved, you got redeemed from needing to have an opinion. You know what your opinion is? It's just all that you think. That's all it is. It's only what you think. It's not necessarily what's right. It's not necessarily what someone should do. It's just what you think. Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So I walked in that day and I called him in and I says, I need to follow what the Spirit of God said to me, I need to let you go. I didn't tell him why. You want to know why? Because if he's not going to correct it before then, he's not going to correct it after then.
That's
right. So I let it go with grace, you know? I just said, I'm just going to follow. The Spirit of God just said, it's time for you to go. So they left, and you know what? It wasn't maybe a couple years. They picked up and they moved to someplace else. They're divorced. Oh, sure they are.
Sure.
Sure they are, because he didn't know how to defend the right person in his life.
Wow.
To his own family, he did not know who to defend.
Wow. That's right.
Praise the Lord. I would dare to say, if he would have stood up and said, you're not talking bad about my man of God. You're not talking bad about my leadership. You're not talking bad about my church. I dare to say, if he would have done that regularly, that she would have complied, but he wouldn't. And he lost it all. I tell you what, you don't defend what's right in your life, and the devil will take it right out from under you.
That's right. Come on now.
I need my local church. I need my church family. Well, they're not perfect. No, they're not perfect, but neither's the one talking. They're not the one talking to you is not perfect either. Well, they're just after your money. Oh, really? Go down to the grocery store and just walk in and tell them, you're just after my money. I can't get out of this store without you wanting money. At the mall, all they want is your money. They don't care how you look. Care how you dress, they want your money. But yet, because they're impure towards money, they accuse you of their own impurity. And they'll accuse a pastor or leadership being after the money, when that's because that's their mentality. That's their mentality. And they try to apply their mentality to you and accuse you with their mentality. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know why I got off on that, but you know what? You need to know where to go. You need to know who to stay hooked up with. And you can look back and you can know this. Those who sow, those who have faith, those who believe God, do not go down financially. They continue to increase. There will come seasons when financial pressure will come, but that doesn't mean it's going down. Pressure does not equal failure. Pressure is not the same as failure. Well, praise the Lord. Ask yourself, you will be called upon in this lifetime to ask yourself this question. If I leave the divine association, where do I go? God joined Paul and Barnabas together. A divine association. But Barnabas got very relaxed in that association. They came to a point to where they wanted something different. Paul said, we're going to go over to a certain place and minister. And Barnabas said, we're going to take my nephew, Mark. Paul says, no, we're not going to take Mark. He said, the reason we're not going to take Mark is Mark abandoned us the last time we ran into persecution. In other words, he wasn't pointing out his failure. He was saying he's not mature enough to face the persecution that we're going to face. We're not going to take Mark. You know what Paul was doing? He wasn't offended that Mark left. He was protecting Mark.
Right.
And sometimes leadership makes decisions that will look like someone is being demoted when they're really being protected.
Come on now.
And people who aren't spiritual enough to understand that will take offense. Well, why didn't Pastor put me up there? Why didn't Pastor let me do that or lead that or use me up front? It's because we're protecting you. And so the Bible says over in Acts chapter 26, I believe it is, it says Barnabas determined to take Mark. When you start getting determined something's going to be your way, you just got outside the will of God. And so it says Barnabas took Mark and sailed. Never hear of him again. As long as Barnabas stayed with who God put him with, the Holy Ghost recorded the works of Barnabas. But when he left the will of God, the Holy Ghost never saw fit to record another thing he did.
Nothing.
Never hear of him again.
Never
no
him
record.
Again.
No record of him. And I firmly believe he went off still doing ministry. He was not a man that was drawn to the world. It wasn't that.
Right.
He was drawn to his own way.
His own way.
He got self-willed.
That's right.
You can become self-willed and will yourself right out of God's will. And it said, we know this, he went off continuing doing ministry, but the Holy Ghost didn't even see fit to record. There are a lot of people still doing ministry, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
They're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
But they're doing it apart from the association God put them with. And the Holy Ghost isn't making note of it.
Come on.
Just because you're still doing ministry doesn't mean you're in the will of God.
That's right.
There's a lot of people that leave the church, violate the church they're at, pick up and go to children's church in another children's ministry in another church. That's not what God said.
That's not what God said.
Still in ministry, but out of the will of God.
That's right. Wow, Pastor.
Amen. It matters that you not only do the work of the ministry, but you do it with those God joined you with. Amen. Praise the Lord. Know where God puts you and don't let any demon in hell or demon in another person or the will of another person pull you away from that. You will be called upon in this life to make choices between the will of God and family. Everyone has had to do it at some level or another. I'm not saying about getting out of a marriage. I'm saying that there will be times when you will have to say, I'm doing the right thing. You'll have to say that to your family. And until you say that, you'll never know what it means to stay in the right place when your faith is challenged. Your faith will be challenged to leave the wrong to leave and go to the wrong place. You better know the right answer. What is it? Wait a minute. Where is my faith fed? Where is my life fed? Where am I learning to believe God? Where am I learning to know God? That's where I'm staying.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
It's not where who's the perfect leader without flaws.
Come on.
It's where is my faith fed?
That's right.
Amen.
That's
well, are you helped today?
Yeah.
These things are crucial. It's life and death what church you go to. It's life and death the decisions you make. People don't realize it, but it is. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It shows us which way to live. It shows us the decisions. It guides us so accurately in the decisions so that we don't live life going from difficulty to difficulty, but we live from glory to glory. That's your plan. That we go from glory to glory. Father, we're so thankful for the clarity of the word that makes it simple and easy for us. We thank you for your plan, your will. Father, we thank you that in your plan and in your will for every one of your children is someone that they can follow as an example. And Father, we thank you for our pastors. Thank you for pastors in the body of Christ. How we love and respect and honor that pastoral office in the body of Christ. Thank you for those who we call spiritual fathers. They are at the lead. They're at the front of all of this. And Father, they're the point men in the body of Christ, and we appreciate the supply that they bring to us. We will honor them in our thoughts, in our conversation, in our actions. And as we honor them, we honor you, for you take it personally how your men are treated. You take it personally how your leaders are treated. And so we purpose to always honor that which you honor. And we appreciate it so much. We thank you.
Thank you.
Our lives are held safe in the right place. Did you know that? When you're in the right place for your life is held at a point of safety. The devil cannot do anything he wants to do to you anytime he wants.
That's
when
right.
You're in the right place. Amen. Learning to believe God. And that's what's so heartbreaking about what's going on so much in the body of Christ. People aren't learning to believe God. They're not learning faith. And so when you find a place that's teaching you faith, you don't treat it as disposable. Amen. It's a rare thing in the earth today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me if you would for a moment. Let's just raise our hands and worship the Lord. We thank you, Father. Who is it in here that in your lower back you've had a lot of difficulty? It seems like almost at times your body would get locked in a certain position. It kind of comes and goes, it seems to me. Who is that? Come up here real quickly. We'll minister to you. Yeah, love. Good morning. How are you, love? Back problems?
I was told a year ago that I had a herniated disc.
Uh-huh.
And I've been having a lot of problems with it.
Yeah. Do you go to church here?
I just started about a month ago.
Good. Here. You found a good place.
Yes, ma'am, I have. I've been blessed the whole time I've been here.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, ma'am.
You know, when God puts you in a church like this, it's an expression of His love for you.
Very much so.
It's Him loving on you, isn't
Very
it?
Much so.
Hallelujah. Just raise up your hands, love. Father, we thank You for healing. Every bit of that hole, made right. In Jesus' name, we thank You for it, Father. What about you, love? You were hit by a car last year. Were you in another vehicle or a pedestrian? On a bike. We thank You, Father. We thank You. Every bit of that healed and made right. That back hole in Jesus' name. What about you, love? Hi. Yeah. We thank You, Father. We thank You. Every bit of that healed in Jesus' name. What about you?
My hips.
Your hips. Lower back. Are they uneven?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
They lock up. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for every bit of it. Go in Jesus' name. We thank You, Father. Something about somebody's right leg, and I don't even know how to describe it rightly. It almost seems like it goes heavy. Almost like at times it's almost like you feel you have to. A dragging motion almost, and I don't know quite what that means. I don't know if it's a problem with the joint that causes that, or a problem with the bone, or I don't know if it's something else, but it just seems like something with that right leg that doesn't function normally as it should. Hallelujah. If that's you, come up here, love. What is that with you, love? It locks and it won't function, move normally. Yeah. Comes and goes. Yeah, is it the right leg? Yeah. We thank You, Father. We thank You. Every bit of that healed in Jesus' name. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. We worship. Hallelujah. Somebody, I don't know, it seems to be somebody's right knee. I don't know, it seems maybe there's an injury to it. The right knee. Who is that? Come up here and we'll minister to you. Thank You, Father. What is it with you, love? Uh-huh, it was torn. Yeah. Thank You, Father. Is it the right one?
Yep.
Yeah. Thank You. Thank You, Father, for that. What about you, love? You did. That'll do it, won't it? Yeah. Is it the right one? Yeah. We thank You, Father. It healed. In Jesus' name. We thank You, Father. Something across the shoulder line, right across the top of the shoulders. I don't know if it's a tightness. I don't know. If something seems to go out of place, but a recurring difficulty. Come on up, love. We thank You, Father. What is it? Something about somebody's hands. I don't know if there's a burning that happens in the hands. It's something that shouldn't be there. I don't know if it's something about arthritis. I don't know. It seems like there's a stiffness, but something with the hands. What is it, sir?
Hi.
Hi.
It's been going on for quite a long time.
Quite a while.
I've been prayed over, and I was told the last time I was prayed over that when this was going on, the answer was supposed to be knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very excited about this. I am in transition.
Yeah.
Burning.
Numbness, tingling. Yeah.
It has now moved into this hand. This uh-huh. is painful. I broke it when I was 10 years old
uh-huh.
in both places. So
wow.
I'm thinking, they keep getting carpal tunnel. I think it's not. I think uh-huh. it's, God's a specific God, as
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So do I.
I just know that it was something to do with the like you described, those symptoms. So we thank you, Father. Making that right in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who is it that has a problem, a difficulty in the right ear? I don't know if it's a pain. I don't know if it's a hearing loss or I don't know what it is, but something to do with the right ear. Come up here. What is it with you, love? 5 years it's been there. Every bit of that. Come out in Jesus' name. What about you, sir? In your right, in this, which, that one? Yeah. We thank you. Every bit of that pain, go. In Jesus' name. What about you, love?
Just ringing.
Ringing, yeah. Every bit of that, go in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just raise up our hands and thank him. We thank you, Father. Something to do with the scalp, and I don't know if it's something to do, I don't know if there's an infection, I don't know if there's something to do with the scalp. If that's you, come up here real quickly, we'll minister to you. You know, God said, is that you too, love? Yeah?
There's been a rash on
there. Yeah. We thank you, Father. Every bit of that leaf, dry up in Jesus' name. What is it with you, love? Yeah. Father, we thank every bit of that dry up. What about you, love? Your daughter. Is she here? Okay. Yeah, you're going to get a cloth. Great. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that anointing. When it's laid upon the scalp of this child, every bit of that will go, and she'll be made whole. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. What about you, love? Yeah. For years, yeah. Father, we thank you. Every bit of it. In Jesus' name, yeah. In Jesus' name. Yeah, just quiet and receive. Just quiet and receive. We thank you. There it goes. There it went in. Now we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Pastor Carl, come here. Come here. Yeah, yeah. Hold out your hands. Greater degree of healing. A greater degree of healing anointing. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for it, Father. Now be bold, be really bold to tell people there's a healing anointing in my hands. The more bold you are, the more manifestations you'll have. Yeah. They need to know that it's there. They need to know that it's there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Let's just raise up our hands and worship. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. Brother Cowan, come here. Do you minister to the sick much in your services?
Yes, ma'am.
There's more.
Hallelujah.
Just hold. Thank you for it, Father. There's more. Amen. More manifestations, more miracles, more healings. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Come here, Pastor. Come here. Come here. Hold out your hands. We thank you for it. More manifestations. More healings, miracles. We thank you for it. Seems like somebody's shoulder keeps going out of joint. It can pop in and out. Who is that? Come up here real quickly and we'll minister to you. Is that you? Which shoulder, the right or left? The right one, yeah. Father, we thank you for making that right in Jesus' name. Whole in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Yeah, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. It's so precious to us to come to a place and receive and participate with you. Receive, flow with you. Thank you so much for your healing power. We appreciate it. We respect it. We value, we honor it. It's not a light thing with us. It's a treasured thing with us. We thank you for it. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You got anything, love? You good? All righty. Yeah.
Actually, you could lift your hands to God and receive where you're at.
He said you can just lift your hands right now. The anointing for healing is so strong in here. Just receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can't be in a place where healing is flowing and not know you're loved.
Amen.
It's an expression of God's love for us, isn't it? It's an expression. It's a flow of His love. Amen. He loves you. Not because you're perfect, but because you're His. So don't beat yourself up because you're not perfect. Just know that you're His. Amen. And that we're reaching for more, aren't we? Hallelujah. Well, you can be seated if you would this morning. The pastor's invited us to receive a... Where's that gal that was up here behind me? Where is she? Is that she? Come up here. Hallelujah. Just come up here real quick. We thank you, Father. Come here. We thank you, Father. An impartation for you. Yeah. We thank you, Father. There should be an offering envelope on the seat back that's in front of you. And so if you're giving this morning, making it out payable to the church, if you're giving by cash, fill that offering envelope out for us completely, if you would. And these offerings help us to go do more of these meetings and other places. So we appreciate you doing that for us. Hallelujah. We appreciate your generosity. You know, so many difficulties in people's lives arise because they don't know the right place to be for their life. Aren't you glad that the Word helps you to know, where should I be? Well, where is your life fed? Where is faith being put into you? Amen. And the longer you stay with the right person, the further you go. Amen. Don't get impatient to leave and move ahead in some things too quick. Don't get impatient to leave. Don't get it, I'm saying for you, don't get impatient and step out too early into some things, but be fully prepared, and then when you do, it'll work. It'll work. Yeah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you can have some things in your heart that are for later. You can. And the way God prepares you to succeed is he doesn't let you step into it yet till preparation. Think about it. Jesus, for 30 years, prepared for 3.
That's right.
10 times as much preparation as fulfillment. So don't treat preparation like it can be shortened. Jesus didn't think it could be shortened. And you know, the devil would have said, you better hurry up, you better hurry up, you better hurry up. You got to reach the world. He said, got all the time in the world to reach the world. He would not let the devil or his own zeal for what was in his heart prompt him to come out of that preparation season too early. Hallelujah. You ready to give this morning?